Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service at Emmanuel this morning. If you are visiting, please make yourself known to the minister or one of the stewards at the end of the service, and please sign our visitor's book. Welcome also to those who will be joining us later in the week by listening to the recording of the service. There will be a church meeting following the service this morning. Where will it be?
In here.
And I strongly recommend you all attend. We're going to be looking at the accounts, so it's something exciting this morning. This morning, I will be reading the Old Testament verses, and Tom Hartshorn will read from the New Testament. Liz Gibney will lead us in our prayers of intercession. And now, let us have a few moments for reflection as I light the Christ candle.
Good morning and welcome all of you to our service today. We gather for worship together with the churches of the partnership, though the other two churches are halfway through their service already. They started at 10 o'clock. We start at 10:30. We gather also in the assurance and in the belief that we are part of the family of God everywhere. And for this we give thanks. Psalm 121, the words to begin our worship today: our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Easy words to remember, important words to bear in mind. Jeff, before we start singing, I just want to make sure, one of the hymns we sing twice, and one of the hymns we cancel two verses. Is this the one we sing twice?
No.
No, it isn't the one we sing twice.
Cancel two verses.
Ah, thank you. Or else we would have sung 14 verses of this hymn, and I wasn't sure if that was the intention this morning. So, beware. Hymn 39, All Creatures of Our God and King, and we will not sing verses 5 and 6. 5 and 6 will not be sung of hymn 39, All Creatures of Our God and King.
Thank you.
we now turn to God in a time of prayer. Let us pray. We come before you and we lift our eyes so that we may see the world as you see it. We come before you and pray. Lift our thoughts that our minds may be transformed by your love. We come before you to lift up our hearts that we may be made fully new through your grace. Loving and caring God, we come before you recognizing that in more ways than we would like to, we have not come even close to your will so often. That having heard your call, we sometimes close our ears. We know that you have spoken in the cries of those around us, in those in need, in those that have been turned away. And it's so easy to pretend that you have not spoken. We come and confess that often we are afraid that you won't stop calling us. And as has happened before, you will continue to do so until our minds, our hearts, our words open to your calling and we become channels of your grace. We confess that often we resist you. Dear God, through the power of the Spirit that is able to enter our lives and bring us closer to you, help us. Cleanse us, renew us, that what we do and what we say may show the way to the kingdom for us and for your people everywhere. We confess, dear God, and we need to hear your loving words, the words that make us whole. We come before you and recognize that this world, this universe, began with your words. You spoke, and there was meaning. You spoke in creation. You spoke through the prophets. You spoke for those who came before us, those who showed us the way, those that educated us and taught us. You spoke through the presence of your Son. You speak through the presence of the Spirit. We want to praise you. We want to recognize that you are the center not only of all creation, but of our lives. And when you speak, you call us by name. We're not a number to you. We are who we are, your children. And you love us in a way that we will never fully understand, that should bring us peace. You challenge us so that we may carry out your word and live it in this world. Thank you for the beauty of this world. Thank you for all that makes a big difference, even in the simple little things that touch the lives of us all. Thank you for the promise of life eternal in your hands. Thank you for those who give of their time and talents and abilities, received through your grace to make this a better world. Help us to see what is going on and cling to you, to rejoice in that which is wonderful, to talk to you in that which overwhelms us, to turn to each other, to encourage us all on this way, so that your name may be praised and your will may be done. Guide us, because we are your children, and you are our Father, and we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Before hearing the readings for this morning, let us sing hymn 372, O Love Divine, How Sweet Thou Art.
First reading is from the New Testament, from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 1 to 17, and you can find it on page 90 of the New Testament section. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How could anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the word of the Lord.
The Old Testament reading is from Genesis chapter 12, starting at verse 1, and it can be found on page 10 of the Pew Bibles. "Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed.' So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Helen, for leading us this morning. The choir is now going to sing the anthem, "Your Gentle Healing," and the words begin like this: "In time of darkness, be my light. In time of blindness, be my sight. In time of loss, be at my side. In time of danger, be my guide."
In time of darkness, be my light. In time of blindness, be my sight. In time of loss, be at my side. In time
Thank you. The words were absolutely beautiful. And words that I would echo to begin the reflection. Be with us, dear God, that we may know that you are walking with us as we walk in life. Amen. I wonder if at any time any of you have been asked, mostly by another Christian, are you born again? And that can lead to a very interesting conversation. I have been asked various times. And what I've discovered is that it usually presumes that I have not been born again. As a result of the question, it is more than a question. It is a judgment. Basically, what is being said is, you aren't like I am. Deep down, I've never said this publicly before, but my question is, do I want to be like you are? And that should lead me on to a process of reflection. Deep down, I firmly believe that a new moment, a new beginning, is not something that happens once in a lifetime. To me, it is a continuous process which involves my whole life, and I would pray involves your whole life. I had a very, very good friend years back who ended up being an opera singer. He went from studying to be an architect to be an opera singer. It was my fault I took him to his first ever opera. And it was a time where there was a very famous film at that time with Mikhail Baryshnikov, and it was called Turning Point. And Guillermo always said to me, when people talk of a turning point, I can only talk of a turning dash. It's never that short, and it's never that quick. And that has stayed with me, and he's been dead for ages now, but I can never forget that. It's a turning dash. It's a process. And this is what makes the two Bible readings this morning so interesting and so challenging. I began with the Gospel intentionally today. One, so you don't get used to going to the Old Testament before the New Testament, but because I thought Nicodemus made an interesting entry point. The Gospel reading, as you well know, has probably one of the most quoted verses of the New Testament, which has become a sticker in many parts of the world, that just says on your rear of the car, John 3:16. It's up to you to know what John 3:16 says. They presume you do know. I'll quote it later on. But it's that question of, have you been born again? What they forget is that, though in the organization of the Bible it is separated, I find it strange that you can't read John 3:16 without reading John 3:17. We separate, we tear asunder what should not be. This is a reading which shows us that God is willing to give everybody the time they need in life to find the way. And this, to me, is absolutely crucial, because God has made us who we are, and we all need different times. And you know that. Here Nicodemus comes at night, alone. He doesn't want to be seen by others, and he has been described at the very beginning as a high up in the religious legal structure of the Jewish community. And in the reading, if you paid attention, we suddenly see him, and we suddenly see him no longer. He disappears. He's then mentioned in chapter 7, towards the end of chapter 7, when the Pharisees got together and want to get rid of Jesus. And he says, are you doing the right thing? Wow. From chapter 4 to chapter 7, he's suddenly a little bit more visible. And we will have to wait to chapter 19 in Gospel of John when Nicodemus goes public. He brings spices to care for Jesus' entombment. When would you say Nicodemus was born again, if you could say it at all? Was it that nighttime visit when he spoke to his Pharisee companions when he went to the tomb? And who was going to decide that? Is it up to the other Pharisees? Is it up to him? I would prefer to say that that's something I will leave to God from here until eternity. And it's not for me to decide. That's the trouble I have with those visions. Nicodemus is also a role model. He would probably say he isn't, but we can be the judge of that. He doesn't understand always what's involved. But again, aren't we in good company with Nicodemus on our side there? Being born again. How's this going to be? How am I going to get back into my mother's womb? That I find very difficult because Mama's died about 30 years ago. So that would qualify me definitely out of that possibility. And I'm not being facetious because that's his question. And even Jesus jokes with him. Come on. And Tom, you were brilliant when you read that phrase. You picked up the spirit of the way it is written. Don't know if you realized, but you really did. He says, Jesus says to him, come on, you're a teacher. Don't you know how this happens? And Jesus was teasing him. Jesus was teasing him. Don't you understand? Come on. Who of us can fully and honestly say we understand the fullness of the Spirit in action? I would hope that there was always room for mystery in the way the Spirit does and deals with us. And for those who enjoy condemnation, and you've heard me say this many times, there are people who make their mission in life to condemn others, but seem to have no mirrors at home at all, or the mirror reflects something different from what other people see. Please bear in mind that key passage. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. That is 3:16. 3:17 goes on, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world. What do you mean? Isn't that the sole reason Jesus came into the world? To tell us what miserable people we were, how we've missed the mark, how we failed the whole picture? I don't think it is. Listen again, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Not to condemn, but to save. And in the Gospel of John, what is always tied closely together is believing and what we do with what we believe. It is no good just simply to say, I believe, but that has to be translated into how we treat each other, how we treat ourselves, what we do for the world. Now let us jump back quite a few centuries and meet Abraham. Have you noticed? It's his first spelling, not the second one. There isn't an H in it. Would that have been the extra letter? Would that have been his born-again moment? Always remember, please, when you hear about Abraham, that he is the patriarch of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. He belongs to none of those in particular. We can't appropriate him. Abraham is called out of his country. Leave the place of your history. Leave the place where your identity is based. And go to a place that I will tell you. That's frightening. That's really frightening. It was far away from what I did because my grandparents four grandparents are British. I knew I grew up speaking English. I went, my primary school was called William Shakespeare, for heaven's sake. I mean, what could have molded my identity more than reading Lamb's version of Romeo and Juliet and Hamlet and things like that? I mean, I was formed with that double identity. I've never left the land of my ancestors. I've got two groups of them, if you want. So I can't even understand Abraham. But it's there. Leaving his past, his roots, traveling with more questions than answers, so similar to so many of God's people over the years. And there, hidden in verse 3, probably one of the most shocking verses that we can imagine, the wonderful words, "And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Is that the counter to the curse in the Garden of Eden? Do you remember Adam and Eve and the curse? You will bear pain. You will earn your living with the fruit, with the sweat of your brow, and then the serpent will be the enemy. And Abraham's mission is to become the blessing of all the nations of the earth. I think there is the beginning of God's plan to be born again. In God there is always newness. In God there is always a new opportunity. Again and again and again. For as long as we realize that we messed it up. And we do mess it up. Now, does that disqualify us forever and ever? I hope you've realized by now that I don't think it has. So, Abraham, as God told him. And that is the challenge. We've been asked to go, even when we don't know where we will end up, who we're going to meet, but with the assurance, I am with you. Which comes up time and time again in the Bible. It's how Matthew ends. I will be with you until the end of times. In the Gospel of John, the Spirit will be with you and guide you. The beginning of the new church, terrified as it was, I will be with you and you will speak and give testimony because I am with you. This is what I believe being born again is all about. So when we are on the journey, don't leave your questions at home. Come along, bring your questions. I can't believe in a God who would be afraid of our questions. If God can't cope with the questions of God's people, what God is he? Come with your questions. Come with your doubts. Come with your fears. God can cope with them. And he promised to walk with us in that search. And this is something that will continue to happen time after time during our whole life. So we are on a journey together. A journey with others, different from ourselves, in different stages of their journey. But we're walking together. And what we have in common is that we are loved by God, who continues to give each of us the time we need to be light of the world. In short, I think that's what being born again truly means. Amen. Holy God, whose wild spirit's breath defies our frozen idols, take the night time of our fear and make it a welcoming womb for us and all the world through Jesus Christ, in whom we are born again and again and again. Amen. There's a wideness in God's mercy. Hymn 353, we will omit verse 2.
James chapter 5 in the New Testament, it says that the prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Well, when I read that, I thought, I don't think I'm very righteous. I don't know what you think, but I suspect you possibly feel the same way about yourself. However, I do believe that each one of us has within ourselves an element of good, at a stretch, a shard of righteousness. Prayer does not depend on one person alone. It is a team effort. So maybe our own individual little bits of good can come together to make a righteous voice, a voice that is powerful and effective. So with that in mind, let us pray. Father, Mother, Universal Carer, Lord, help us to love like you do. As we proceed through Lent, move us to make time for you, Lord. Lead us towards Easter with an open mind for the way ahead. Help us to prepare. Let us wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. We pray for the victims of war, particularly for those in Ukraine. Over a year has passed, and still the outcome seems no clearer. It is easy to lose hope, but we pray with our powerful voice for peace. We pray not just for the victims, but also for the perpetrators of war. Deliver us with understanding and love for all people, and in thinking of peace, help us to live a life promoting this. Help us to act lovingly and thoughtfully, aware of other people's lives, opportunities, abilities, and feelings. We have been reminded that the world is a vibrant and awe-inspiring place where the created geology moves and changes seemingly without regard for human life. Natural disasters like earthquakes happen as part of your dynamic world. The land moves and buckles naturally and creatively forms the landscape as we know it. This is how our landscape came about. And yet these awe-inspiring events can so rapidly turn to disaster. In the wrong place, at the wrong time, so much destruction can occur. We grieve for those caught up in the Syrian-Turkish disaster that has changed lives forever. Communities have lost homes, families, and livelihoods. We pray for the rescuers and the rescued. We pray for the fearful and the brave. We pray for the living and those who have died, and for all your people devastated and scarred by the power and might of the natural world around us. We also ask for justice in the sharing of aid and for justice when investigating those whose desires for excess profit means that others live poorer lives. Help us all to put others before our own self-centered desires. We remember those who are in power. As world leaders meet to live in hope, we live in hope that they will be driven not by egotism and short-termism, but by love of their fellow beings. We hope for peace and justice for all, not for the select few. We long for leadership that takes into account the needs of the poor, the forgotten, the different, the marginalized, the weak, the displaced, and the unloved. Jesus showed us that individuals matter, that all are important. He had no time for those who abused power and became rich at the expense of their neighbours. Again, let our hearts and souls make space for our fellow human beings. Let our faith shine, growing from the size of a mustard seed to fill our whole lives. We remember those in Northern Ireland and the possible new agreement announced this week to help trade with the rest of the UK. May this initiative be successful, helping to heal wounds early inflicted and allow Northern Ireland to truly feel a valued part of the UK. May peace be sustained. Halfway through Fair Trade Fortnight, and we are grateful for reminders that we can do more to help those struggling against unfairness. We as individuals have choices, and we can make our voices heard. Help us to think before we buy, and may we ask the difficult questions. We live in hope that the world will move towards fairer trade for all. We pray for those with health issues, for those who are facing treatment and are fearful of the outcomes, for those who see no way forward, for those who rejoice having been given a second chance at life, for those whose agony is over, for those who sing with joy for new life, for those who wail at the loss of life, for lives reinvigorated and for lives learning new limitations, for babies taking their first breaths and for broken bodies taking their last. We are forever, eternally in your hands, O Lord. We remember and name those close to us who are struggling and need your reassurance. Bless each and every one whose names we have uttered. For those whose problems we do not know, for those who suffer silently, we remember them. For strength to face the obstacles ahead, for the vision to see the narrow way, and the wisdom to follow it in faith, we pray from our hearts with one voice. As the psalmist writes, I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. Amen.
Thank you, Liz. To those who thought that the peace candle was not going to be lit today, because it hasn't been lit, I just wanted to draw attention, it's going to be lit now, because sometimes it seems that we forget about, not ourselves, but the world forgets about the plea for peace. So it will be lit. We won't turn it off at the end of the service, we'll turn it off at the end of the church meeting. But sometimes peace gives us the shakes. We're not too sure what's happening. And I just wanted the lighting of the candle today to remind us of that moment. So after I've lit the candle, we will receive the offering, and then we will sing our closing hymn.
Thank you.
dear God, for the offering that is in the plate and the offering that comes in so many different ways, that our time, our talents, and our possessions, given in love through the guidance of the Spirit, may touch the lives of others and remind them that you are close. Amen. And let us share the words of the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all evermore. Amen.
Thank you.
Hymn 415, twice. Shall go out with joy, and even Lord with thee, the anointed of the field. Shall clap their hands, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands, and you'll go out with joy, go out with joy, and in needs it. We have to be able to share it and receive it. Go in peace. With the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you, with those you love, and with God's people everywhere, now and forevermore. Amen.